with Pastor Mensa Otoko. And now, today's word.
Well, as you know, last week I started a series, and this is part two of the principle of gathering. God is able to gather things. Even when we lose things, he's able to bring them back to us. So my subtitle for today is God can put us back together. God can put us back together. God can put me back together. God can put you back together again. No matter what happens to you, and no matter what difficulties you go through, God can fix it for you. One of the realities of life is that sometimes things go wrong. Sometimes we lose things. Sometimes we get broken. Sometimes we go through difficulties and we wonder, will I ever get back to where I used to be? Will things be good for me again? Will God be able to fix this thing for me? Can God put me back together, put my life together? Can God give me joy again? Yes, he can. God can put us back together again. And no matter what you're going through in life, no matter the difficulties you're faced with, no matter the sense of loss you feel and the sense of failure you feel, God can put things back together again. And today, as we look at the various scriptures and look at God's perspective on us and how we should respond to God's perspective, I pray that everything in your life that has scattered will be brought back together, that God will help you to live a really, really Christ-like, joyful, overcoming life. Amen. Well, I'm going to begin my message in a very unusual way. Normally, I will start with a Bible text and I will exegete the text and then I will apply the text. But today, I'm going to go a little off my normal route and I'm going to start with a very unusual approach. We're going to start with a nursery rhyme. How many of you know nursery rhymes? You know any nursery rhyme? I know you are adults, but you used to be kids, didn't you? And we all learned nursery rhymes. And there's an old rhyme that has been recited for generations. You recited it. If you have kids, your kids also recite it. If you have grandchildren, you've heard them talk about this rhyme. And your parents also did it, and your grandparents also did it. It's called Humpty Dumpty. How many of you know Humpty Dumpty? Did you ever recite Humpty Dumpty? Okay, we're going to say Humpty Dumpty together. Are you ready? Okay, let's go. Humpty Dumpty. Oh yes, Mr. Humpty got into trouble. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. And what calamity it is for Mr. Humpty Dumpty. And normally in popular culture, Humpty Dumpty is portrayed as an egg. It's an egg human. It's a big egg with a human face and human legs and human arms. And sometimes he's wearing a trouser, so it's likely Humpty Dumpty is a male. But for all of you ladies, you are also associated to Humpty one way or the other. Humpty Dumpty, yes. The story is this fragile egg, something that is fragile, that is weak, and is sitting on a wall. So the picture you have is Humpty is having it easy. Life is cool. Things are going on well for Mr. Humpty. And he's sitting relaxed because he's reached the highest level. He's reached the pinnacle of life. He's having a good time. And then the rhyme says he had a great fall. So he fell from where he was. And obviously, when he fell, he scattered. And then the passage says, and all the king's horses. Now, I don't know how horses can fix something that is broken. But all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. In other words, Humpty had such a great fall that nobody could fix him. The king's men couldn't fix him. The king's horses couldn't fix him. He's in an unfixable situation. The only thing about Mr. Humpty Dumpty is that they missed one person. The king's horses tried, the king's men did try, but they didn't go to the king himself. Because if they had gone to the king himself, he would have had enough resources to put Humpty together. In our case as Christians, the king is called Jesus Christ. He's the Lord of lords. And many times when we get into trouble, we go to the king's man, maybe a pastor, or maybe a specialist. You go to a doctor, you go to somebody to try to fix you. And when they fail, you think you are unfixable. But I'm here just to tell somebody, the king can fix you. I said, the king can fix you. And not only can he fix you, he will fix you. And no matter what has happened to your life, no matter how broken you are, God can put your life back together again. And don't be disappointed that you tried and tried and it didn't work. Don't be disappointed that people tried and it didn't work, because there is one who works, and he is going to help you to put your life together again. Many times in life we go through a great fall. A great fall could probably be that you brought it on yourself. Maybe you dropped yourself, you disappointed yourself. And sometimes a great fall comes because somebody dropped you, somebody pushed you under the truck and just messed your life up. And what happens when we have a great fall? What happens when things go wrong? What happens when nothing seems to work? The king's men cannot solve us, our problem. The king's horses cannot. The systems are failing. Experts are failing. But there is still the Lord God, who is king of the universe. And he is able to put our lives together again. So we're going to look at God's approach to us. When we feel falling, when we feel that things have gone bad and life has become such a big pain and a big disappointment, something we're trying to work on didn't work. Maybe we started our marriage and then it fell apart. You had a best friend and they left you, or you had an investment and it went wrong. All your health is challenged. Whatever it is, one way or the other, each one of us have a great fall. But there is a fixer. There is a fixer. One of the things I've noticed in life is that when you fall, when you have a great fall, that is when people feel they are now anointed to kick you. People take advantage of those who are going through difficulty. That's when your best friend is going to deny you and is going to betray you. At your lowest point, that's when you find nobody cares for you. People are stomping on you all over. And we ourselves do it. We abandon people who have fallen. But that is not God's approach. God doesn't do that. So we're going to look at what God does not do when we are in trouble. What God does not do. And after that, we'll look at what God does. And then after that, we'll look at what we must do. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 3. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. This statement in Isaiah is a prophecy about God's servant Jesus Christ. And it's telling us about how Jesus is going to approach life and what he's going to do for us. And the passage talks about a reed and a flax. And the first thing he says is that a bruised reed he will not break. A reed is very fragile. It's not like a tree or a stick. It's a very weak plant. And when a weak plant, a reed, is bruised, the logical thing you do is to throw it away. It's like those of you who tend flowers. If you have a rose flower or you tend some other flowers, some orchids and so on. When you go out to your plant, your flower, or if you don't tend flowers and you sow cassava or some other, you know, because we Ghanaians, we don't like flowers. We like cassava and corn. I mean, am I going to eat flowers? You know, we just, all right, whatever you cultivate. But you go to the rose garden and you find that some of the leaves have gone weak, they've been bruised, a worm has eaten it, or it's gotten brownish, something's gone wrong. You don't keep it. You take it away. You throw it away because at that point, it's of no value to you. But that's not how God responds. He says, a bruised reed, he will not break. That means when people think you are useless, God still sees use in you. The Lord does not cut off that which is broken. A bruised reed, he will not break. He doesn't break that which is weak and is cut off. But you know, we human beings, we cut off people. If your best friend gets into trouble, your good friend gets into trouble. And now, you know, when people get into trouble, they become talkative, don't they? When they are in trouble, they become talkative. So now they are always talking there. Every time you see them, they talk about the same problem over and over and over. And you see what happened. And the first time you have catch you, second time you listen. But the third time you're saying, didn't you know he told me this last week? And then they tell you about that 10 times and 20 times, they've become a bruised reed. They've been bruised by life. And sadly, we cut them off. We don't pick their calls again because they are a nuisance. They are bothering us. They're making life difficult because now they are not fun to hang around with. It's not fun talking to them because it's all the same story, the same blah, 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 the same blah, blah, blah. We cut them off. But the Bible says, a bruised reed, he will not break. Listen to me. People may get fed up with you. They'll get tired with you. They will cut you off. They will not pick your call. But God will not cut you off. He will pick your call. When you call, he will answer. When you pray, he will hear. A bruised reed, he will not break. And the second thing, he talks about a smoking flax. Now, most of these things, when we read them in the Bible, we don't fully understand. What's a smoking flax? Is it like the flax that has cigarette on its mouth? A flax in the days of the Bible is like the wick of a candle. You know, when you have a candle, you have the wax, and in the wax, you have this tiny little fabric. It's called the wick. In the days of the Bible, it was called a flax because that's what you use to light up things. And the passage is saying, you know, when you light up your candle and it has a flame on it and the flame goes off, do you realize there is always smoke in the wick? The fire is gone, smoke is there, and at that time you just feel the candle is off. But God is saying when the candle is off and the wick still has smoke, he still believes the fire will come out of you. And so God says, a smoking flax, he will not quench. God does not extinguish our hopes. When it looks like he's done, all he has is smoke left over, God still says, I can do something with it. If you're bruised, he can work with you. If your fire is gone, he will work with you. If the light is gone, he will work with you. If it looks like your best days are over, he still can see smoke, and that tells him the fire is somewhere. It may be tiny, maybe small, but you still got fire. A bruised reed, he will not break. A smoking flax, he will not destroy. He will not quench. He will not cut off. Because, you know, we are human beings. And sometimes when people really cut you off and people write you off, you begin to think God has also written you off. When people say all kinds of things against you, you begin to feel, maybe that's what God also feels about me. If you are a lady and your husband says, hey, you are not as beautiful as you used to be when we married, you were so beautiful. Look at what has happened. Look at what has happened. And you look at yourself and sometimes you feel, maybe I'm not good. Well, let me tell you this. A man's opinion is not God's opinion. People can see you as bruised and think you are finished, but God says, I will not break you. People may see you and say, the fire is gone. The best days are over. He still says, I see a smoke and I can still work with you and produce new fire. I came here to encourage somebody. It's not over for you because God can fix you. God can put it together. And in this season of gathering, may the Lord bring everything together back in your life. May He let it work for you again. God does not cut off the broken. He does not extinguish our hopes. If God does not do that, what does God do? What does God do? And we're going to look at the Psalms and look at something that God does. Psalm 147, verses 2 and 3. This prophecy or this statement is addressed to Jerusalem and to Israel, but it applies to us as well. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. The Lord gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. If you are Humpty Dumpty and you've had a great fall, this is what the Lord does for you. First, the passage says, He builds up. When you are broken, when you fall, God is not going to leave you. He's going to build you up. God is not in the business of abandoning people. Check the Bible. A woman caught in adultery, everybody gave up on her. But Jesus didn't, because a broken reed, a bruised reed, He will not break. God builds up. And not only does God build up, the passage also says that He gathers together the outcast. He gathers together things that have been lost, things that have been cast out, people that have been cast out, people that have been left on the field. He gathered them together. And not only that, the passage also says the Lord binds together the brokenhearted and brings healing. He's a healing God. He's a binding God. When something is sick, it means something has gone wrong. A cut has taken place, but God will bind you together. That's God's attitude to us. That's how He sees our lives. We may not see that way. Your friends may not see that way. People may think you are done. Maybe you failed at it once, you failed at it three times, you failed at it five times. You are a serial failure. You've mastered in failure. You've got a PhD in failure. You can actually teach a course in failure. Because you started a business, it failed, a marriage failed, failed with raising your children, failed in exam, failed everywhere. If there is a course at the university called Failure 101, they have a lecturer. You can be a professor in failure. You fail so much, you can teach it to others. But God says He can even take that person, that expert in failure, and He can build them up, and He can gather them, and He can bind them, and He can heal them. You cannot go beyond God's help. He has a good feeling about you. He has good thoughts about you. There are good things He wants to do for you. And although you may disappoint yourself, or people may disappoint you, God can still put us together. Now, because God does not abandon us, and because He positively does good things for us, what should we do? What should be our attitude. It's one thing to say, oh, God is going to help me. But if God is going to help me, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to deal with life when it's whipping me? What am I supposed to do? That's what we're going to find out. And we're going to look at Job chapter 22, verses 28 and 29. Say, why do you choose Job? What else? If you knew a suffer man, there's no suffer man greater than Job. This is the headquarters of suffering. This guy has a master's degree, a PhD in suffering. He had it over and over and over and over. Everything fell apart. He's like Humpty Dumpty. He's sitting on his wall, and all of a sudden, he's down. And all the king's horses, and all the king's men, and all his friends, nobody can fix him. But can God fix him? And if God can fix us, what should we do? Job chapter 22, from verse 28, it says, you will also declare a thing, and it will be established for you, so light will shine on your ways. When they cast you down, you shall say, exaltation will come. Then he will save the humble person. Did you see that? When they cast you down, you don't say, oh, I'm down. Oh, I have no future. When you are cast down, you say, exaltation will come. When life is beating you down, you say, exaltation will come. When you failed over and over and over and over, you say, exaltation will come. I don't know what life has thrown against you today, but I came here to prophesy to somebody, exaltation will come. Everybody say, exaltation will come. Say, exaltation will come. I don't have any money in my pocket, but life has been tough for me in 2023, but it's been a difficult marriage, but everybody's kicking me on the floor, but so what? It says when you are going through negative things, hardship, pain, we must not speak about the negative that is happening. When life is hard, you don't go about saying, oh, life is hard. I've been cast down. No, you don't affirm what you're going through. You know, because what you say has power. When I'm cast down, I don't say I'm cast down, although that's the reality. When I'm down, I don't say I'm down. I don't affirm it. I understand it's always difficult when you're going through it. People say, so does it mean we shouldn't talk about what we are going through? Talk about it, but don't talk about it to the king's horses. And don't talk about it to the king's men. You talk about it to the king. Because he's the only one who can put you together again. And the way we talk to the king is we pray to the Lord. Because the thing about life is when you are complaining, you think people should have sympathy, they are insulting you in their head. They think you are wasting their time. Leave and go. I have something else to do. Because people are not sympathetic to your problem, but there is one who bears your burden. There is one who carries your pain. And he says, when you are cast down, you say exaltation will come. Exaltation will come. Exaltation will come. I said exaltation will come. Amen. Exaltation will come. Amen. Your life, exaltation will come. Amen. You will see goodness. You will see joy. You will see favor. You see restoration. You will see abundance. You see upliftment. Yesterday you may be down, but exaltation is coming. You don't affirm the negative. Although you're cast down, you don't say, I'm cast down. And he says the reason why you do that is because he says you shall say a thing and it shall be established. And he says the light will shine forth on you. What does it tell us? That we must speak about the positive that must happen. We don't tell the negative, we tell the positive. Somebody say, face reality. That's reality. The reality is exaltation is coming. I'm establishing my path. The light is about to break forth in my life. God is about to break forth in your life. He's going to break forth in your life in a big time. And you are going to make it in a big time. Somebody say, I'm going to make it. You are alive. Say, I'm going to make it. Say, I'm going to make it. And say, I'm going to make it big, massive, humongous. I'm going to make it big because exaltation is coming. Exaltation is coming. And he says, as you begin to say that, the light will shine. I have a feeling God is about to exalt you and put his light on you. And the light will be so bright, people are going to need shades to look at you. I said they're going to need shades to look at you because you're going to shine brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. People are going to wonder, where did he come from? We thought he was broken. We saw him fall from the wall. But exaltation has come, the light has come. Now they have to learn to watch you with shades. Because you're going to bright. Brighter and brighter. Brighter and brighter. This morning, I just came to announce to somebody, you fell from the wall. And now sometimes the good thing about or the thing about life. Is that sometimes one aspect of your life is doing so well, and then another aspect is on the ground. Your health is perfect, but your pocket is sick. You know, the sickness has transferred to your account. And sometimes you have money in your pocket, but your marriage is going down. Humpty Dumpty happened to your marriage. Didn't happen to your pocket. Sometimes your marriage is perfect, but the pocket. So, we may not be all together in a bad shape, but there is always one aspect of your life that fell off the great wall. And God says, even that aspect, I'll fix it for you. And when you are cast down in that area, your profession is doing well, you're doing so well in your life, in your career, you're earning a lot of money, but your marriage is not doing well, your health is not doing well. Your relationship with your children is not doing well. Or your relationship with your children, perfect relationship, but marriage is bad. You find somehow there's a Humpty Dumpty somewhere in your life. But this morning, the word of the Lord is exaltation will come. Lift up your hands to God. Because we're breaking the cycle. Humpty is getting back on his wall. We're getting back because exaltation is coming. And begin to pray, begin to talk to the Lord by the Spirit of the Lord. Maketeri isomaya ikaya labuziana kareste kariota makoriendebosha izapari ikaparonaya. Just pray, pray. You are breaking out of this limitation. It's going to be well with you. It's going to be well with your children. It's going to be well with your marriage. It's going to be well with your finances. It's going to be well with your job. They fell off, but they are coming together. We speak exaltation to families, exaltation to marriages, exaltation to children, exaltation to our lives. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Talk to the Lord. He hears you. Talk to the King. Tell him about your situation. Begin to confess. Exaltation is coming. I'm rising again. I have a testimony. Favor is upon me. Increase has come to me. It's turning around all over for my good. In the name of Jesus. Father, you will not break the bruised reed. You will not snuff out the smoking flax. But you will build up. You will gather. You will heal and bind them. For everyone who has fallen in any aspect of their lives, things have gotten bad. All of a sudden they are down. All of a sudden they can't seem to fix themselves. You are the great fixer, Lord. Fix it together for them. Fix it together for them. For those who are being cast down, may they be exalted. In every area where we're being cast down, may you exalt us again. Give us a song, a brand new song, a song of victory, a testimony of your goodness. Let our lives demonstrate your victory. Let our lives demonstrate your goodness, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen.
Thank you for listening to Live and Word. To interact with Pastor Mensah Otterbein, like his page on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter at Mensah Otterbein. Email otterbein@centralgospel.com or call +233 302 688 000.